All right, we're going to have a little fun here. Being the leader of a prosperous country, one of the G20, powerful politicians, say majority leader of the U.S. Senate, Secretary of State, President of the USA even, you'd think a job like that would be its own reward. Nope. For some politicians, the higher plane of achievement might involve, say, a Grammy. Sing it, Silvio. That's the Italian prime minister. Well, he just stepped down from his day job. But there's Silvio Berlusconi on his fourth album of love songs.
You call this fun? See, generally listening to politicians sing is not my idea.
No, this isn't bad. I mean, his album's being released today. You missed Mediterraneo or Viva Zapatero or the timeless Videocracy. Well, you'll just have to be satisfied with Il Vero Amore, 11 ballads, 11 little dreams of what Silvio Berlusconi might have actually wanted to do with his life if politics and business hadn't got in the way so annoyingly for the Italian people. Berlusconi isn't the only powerful person with this songwriter music itch. There's a whole record shelf of American politicians with the same inclination. Joining us now is Eric Latch, a reporter based in Boston who recently wrote a post for the New Yorker website called I Hear Politicians Singing. He joins us from partner station WGBH in Boston. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you didn't hear Berlusconi and go, oh, I have to get all of his albums and then decide to do this investigation into American politicians who have their own sort of discography.
No, well, actually, what prompted me originally to write this a few weeks ago was the discovery of this video of Herman Cain doing this pizza-themed rendition of John Lennon's Imagine.
Right.
So, I saw that and then I wondered, I wonder how many other politicians are, you can find out there who sort of display some musical inclination. And I just went online and started looking around and just all these things popped up. It was actually surprisingly easy to find examples of politicians singing and playing piano and
well, let's play some here. We found, right, as you did, Senator Robert Byrd, the late Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, right, who's the real right deal of singing, yep, and fiddling for President Carter. Listen.
Tonight I'm alone without you, my dear. Seems there's a longing for you still. All I have to do now is sit alone and cry in our little cabin.
So what is this legend? I mean, it's not just Robert Byrd. There's a whole list of them. We're going to hear clips of them. Is this kind of like all of the actors who say, what I really want to do is direct? So is it kind of natural for politicians to say, what I really want to do is sing?
I mean, there are, a lot of similarities between what politicians do these days and performing. You know, they play to audiences. They repeat, pre-prepared speeches and lines and talking points over and over again. And charisma is a big part of what they do. So, there are a lot of similarities between, going on stage and performing and what politicians are doing regularly.
You know, although it comes from a lot of different directions here, you got that sort of bluegrass Robert Byrd, but then here you've got a serious performer. Condoleezza Rice played piano for the Queen of England, performing Brahms.
Right.
I think we have a clip of that.
Right.
I mean, she's also the real deal, but I don't think she necessarily wanted to be a concert pianist over being Secretary of State.
Well, no, but when she was younger, she did sort of consider playing music professionally. I think she played with the Denver Symphony Orchestra when she was pretty young. And then even, when she was in office, it was no secret that she was quite a talented pianist. In 2002, she accompanied Yo-Yo Ma during a ceremony in which he was awarded a National Medal of the Arts.
She's the real
sort of
she's
maintained
heavy
this.
But one, not the Queen of England or anyone, perhaps maybe Arsenio would ask this guy to play the sax, though, right?
Right.
Bill Clinton on Arsenio in 1992. Now, that was a real reveal for Bill Clinton, the candidate, but it wasn't a serious attempt to be a pop, jazz, blues star.
No, and yet, the audience response, is totally, they're going wild. You know, they're like, they've got their arms like over their heads, sort of shaking them in the sort of Arsenio Hall's like sort of, iconic gesture of that show. They're going nuts. You can hear them. I mean, they're screaming and yelling and up and clapping.
In your investigations, were they going nuts when the people at this Obama rally heard this rendition of a Spanish tune?
Jalisco, Jalisco, Jalisco. Tu tienes tu novia, me Guadalajara.
That's Teddy Kennedy. Now, is this him just sort of, you know, doing a stunt at a rally, or did Teddy Kennedy have a secret musical life?
I mean, you know, this one doesn't get any style points. Like, you know,
no.
he's not a great singer, and his Spanish is okay, but you know, he clearly is enjoying himself. And again, I think that this is where you can see sort of what a politician does and what a musician does kind of merging, because he's just selling this performance to the crowd.
Although there's something different from, you know, enjoying yourself singing, which I can understand, as opposed to somebody who puts out an album
right
seriously to try and sell it as a professional musician. I mean, there's a drawing line there.
Sure. I mean, you know, there's definitely a difference between having a personal enthusiasm and sort of having some kind of professional aspiration.
Or maybe an obsession. Would we call this senator here who's responsible for this next clip the William Shatner of the U.S. Senate? Listen.
Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, the festival of light. In Jerusalem, the oil burned bright.
Please, Eric, give us the backstory so you don't have to listen to any more of that.
Yeah, so, you know, the story about this song, which was written by Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, was written for Tablet Magazine by Jeffrey Goldberg. The story seems to be that, you know, several years ago, Goldberg was interviewing Hatch, and Hatch revealed that he's actually quite a prolific songwriter of not only love songs but also Christian spirituals. And maybe as a joke, Goldberg asked him if he had any Hanukkah songs. And years later, in 2009, Hatch got back in touch with Goldberg and said, "I've got some ideas for a song." And they sort of got together, and then they sort of got in a Midtown Manhattan studio and recorded the song.
And the rest is history. Well, Latch on Hatch. Eric Latch, a reporter based in Boston, wrote a post called "I Hear Politicians Singing" for The New Yorker, loosely sort of pegged to Silvio Berlusconi coming out with his new album. You want to land this? What does this say about the state of American politics, this singing business?
Well, you know, I mean, there's definitely some great enthusiasm for music and for you know, getting audiences to respond to them in any way that they can sometimes.
And they sing in tune, because that's not normally what they do when there's legislation involved. Eric, thanks so much.
Sure.
Not all of them sing in tune, John.
That's true,
I'm sorry.
That's true, yeah.
that's simply not true. If you want to respond to that, give us a review of Silvio Berlusconi's new album or anything that you've heard on the show. A lot of you had a lot to say already about Grover Norquist. You can do that by calling us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to our website. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.